Amen. So in Genesis chapter 34, of course, you have the real familiar passage, a real familiar story to those that have read their Bible a few times. You probably heard this preached several times regarding this going out of Dinah and, of course, the horrific story that kind of plays out there with the treachery of Simeon and Levi. They are beguiling these people into getting circumcised, and then while they're still sore, they go out there and they slay this entire village. Jacob obviously becomes very upset with them, and rightfully so, and says, "Hey, you're making me to stink in the eyes of the heathen." Okay, and he's very upset with them. And it's interesting because this all starts really with just one person, right? It starts with Dinah just kind of going out there, and obviously she had the best of intentions. She wasn't going out there to make all this happen, but one thing just kind of led to another. And what we really see, the root of the problem is the fact is that Dinah was naive. And I want to preach a sermon this morning entitled, "Don't Be Naive." Don't be naive. Okay, being naive, obviously, is something that we're all going to be for some length in our time, in our life. But it's something that we have to grow out of. It's something that we have to, at least in the meantime, while we are that one that might be considered naive, at least understand that it's a reality, that it's something that we all have to grow out of. Okay, and I want to help us with that this morning. You might not know that term, naive, even what that really means. But really, naive just simply means showing a lack of experience. And you can't really fault people for that. You can't really fault people for a lack of experience. Obviously, experience is something that comes with time, something that comes with life. But also, you know, it's a lack of wisdom, but it's also a lack of experience, but it's also a lack of wisdom and of judgment. This is the danger of being naive. When people are naive, they lack wisdom or judgment. And again, it's not to call somebody stupid or dumb or ignorant. You know, that's a separate sermon. But, you know, being naive does entail the fact that because you are naive, you lack wisdom. You lack judgment. You lack experience. You lack discernment. That is the dictionary definition, to show a lack of experience, wisdom, or judgment. And it's interesting, often when you look at a dictionary, they'll put that word in a sentence to kind of give you a sense of the meaning, right? And it's interesting, in the dictionary, it says, the rather naive young man had been totally misled. That was how they used that word, naive, in a sentence. And it's interesting to me that the dictionary specifically said the rather naive young man, okay? Because being naive is something that is often attributed to people who are young. It's an attribute of those that, lack experience. So when you're young, when you're a young person, you cannot help but be naive to some degree, okay? And obviously with time and experience, you grow out of that. And with wisdom and with help and with instruction, you grow out of that. But it's something that we all go through. Okay, so when I say don't be naive, obviously I'm not saying if you are naive that there's something wrong with you, but you have to understand that that's something you have to grow out of. You know, that there's people in your life that want to help you to navigate those waters of when you are a naive person simply through lack of experience. You know, being naive, again, isn't necessarily, you know, something we should fault people with. It simply means being innocent. It means being inexperienced. It means being childlike. It means being trusting, right? We would say, hey, that person's kind of naive. They just kind of trust that everybody has their best interests in mind. And what we find out is that that's not the case often in the world. They're unsuspecting. They're over-trusting. They're unsuspicious. They're deceivable. They're dupable, they're immature. That's what it means to be naive. It means to be all of these things. In the Bible, I believe the term that we're going to see, and if you would go over to Proverbs, we're going to spend a lot of time in Proverbs this morning, Proverbs chapter 7. The biblical word that we would use for naive is simple. Simple. The Bible talks a lot about people who are simple. And what does it mean? I mean, that's literally another word that they use for naive in the dictionary. It's synonymous. You go to a thesaurus, you look up the word naive, you're going to see that word simple there. Again, being simple just simply means, you know, to have a childlike, just kind of trusting, gullible, inexperienced kind of a outlook on life. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 1, and again, I'm turning to Proverbs because when you're dealing with issues like this, you know, Proverbs is a great book. Because again, when we're talking about naive people, we're talking about what? Young people. People who are young, people who are inexperienced. And the Bible, the book of Proverbs in particular, is a book that's really geared towards young people. Okay. In fact, I'll read to you from Proverbs chapter 1. It says in verse 3, "To receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment, and equity, to give subtlety to what? The simple, to the young man, knowledge and discretion." So again, there's that correlation between being young and being simple. Again, notice it's to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man. So the Bible is even expressing this. That when a person is young, there is a certain level of naivete, or being naive. And it's unescapable. You can't get around it because it's a lack of experience. The Bible's telling us in Proverbs chapter 1 that it's written to give people who fall into that knowledge and discretion. So again, what does it mean to be simple? To lack knowledge and to lack discretion or discernment. Proverbs chapter 6, or 7, verse 6. It says, "Therefore, at the window of my house, I looked through my casement and beheld among the simple ones, I discerned among the youths." So again, notice, a lot of times you're seeing this word simple brought up. It's used to describe those that are young, those that are of the youth. "I discerned among the youths, a simple one, a young man void of understanding." So the Bible really is the best dictionary for these words. It gives us this understanding of what this word simple means. To be young, to be without understanding, to not have the wisdom and discretion that you need. It's to be simple. It's to be naive. Okay? I want to just look at 3 points this morning. And that's this, that being naive is natural. I've kind of already expressed that. It's a very natural thing to be naive. It's something we all go through. But also, those that are naive need to not be naive about the fact that being naive is dangerous. And I know that's a mouthful. But basically, being naive is a very dangerous thing. We don't want to be naive. At any stage in our life, in any area of our life, we should not be naive about certain things. And the good news is that being naive is not permanent, meaning you can grow out of things. Now, you're going to grow out of it in one way or another. The good news is that it's not permanent, but you know it could also turn into something else. It could turn into just being plain ignorant. Okay. But let me start with my first point, that being naive is natural. Being naive is natural. We begin as newborn babes, both, you know, literally, physically. You know, we're all born in this world. Obviously, every child has to learn certain things about life, just the most basic, simple things. They are without wisdom. They are without discretion. They are without knowledge. I mean, children have to be taught literally everything except how to do, you know, how to be bad. That's the one thing that just seems to come to them naturally. Or how to misbehave, how to do wrong, right? That's something that's, because we're all sinners, we just know how to do. But in order to learn how to do right, in order to learn how to behave, in order to, have manners and be polite and all that, those are things that you have to teach children. Those are things that they're not just going to pick up on their own. They're naive about these things. They lack the wisdom and the knowledge and discretion. They don't have the experience. It'd be foolish to expect a child to, know everything and to understand everything. They have to be instructed and brought up in those things. That's pretty obvious. You know, naivety is an unavoidable part of youth. It's something that you just can't avoid. Again, I pointed out it's the young man that it's being addressed here. And not just the young man, young women, youths in general. Just anyone who's young, inexperienced in any way, shape, or form is going to be naive about things. Even a grown man who's been around for decades, if he goes into a job where he knows nothing about it, you know, you'd say he's naive about what's entailed with this job. It's just natural. They're unexperienced. It's an unavoidable part of life, particularly youth. We all start out as babes, both physically, literally, but also spiritually. And the Bible warns us, hey, that we need to grow in grace in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's something that you have to put effort into. You don't want to live your whole Christian life being naive spiritually. You don't want to not grow up in your Christian life and just remain a perpetual child as a Christian. And that's possible. Obviously, with children, you know, physically speaking, they're going to grow up one way or another. You know, they're not going to remain children. Now, they might grow up into be, you know, maybe not the best children, maybe not the best adults. Maybe they're malnourished. Maybe they suffer physically. You know, but the thing with the spiritual child is the fact that you can remain a child. That if you don't, if you neglect the Word of God, if you neglect to grow as a Christian, you will remain a child spiritually. It can happen. That's why the Bible tells us, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. You know, we should desire what? The sincere milk of the Word. It's the Bible that is going to help us grow. It's the Bible that is going to give us the spiritual nourishment that we need to grow as Christians. From being newborn babes in Christ, I mean, that's why Christ, you know, said you must be born again. It's a literal, it's a spiritual rebirth that takes place there. We are spiritually babes. We have to grow out of that, okay? But we all start out as babes, don't we? And again, there's nothing wrong with that. The problem is when we remain babes, okay? The Bible says, everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe, okay? And here's what I want to get across before I really get into some more of the practical application of the sermon is that, you know, why I'm preaching this is because God cares about the simple. You know, God cares about simple people. God cares about those that are young. God cares about those that are inexperienced. God doesn't just throw us to the wolves and just say, figure it out. You know, God cares about us. God gives us instruction. God gives us knowledge. God gives us people in our lives to guide us out of our youth, out of being a naive person, okay? God cares for the simple. Go back to Genesis chapter 34. I should have had to keep something there. Hopefully you caught that. I think I failed to mention that, but we are going to go back to Genesis 34. But God cares for the simple. The Bible says, gracious is the Lord and righteous, yea, our God is merciful. The Lord preserveth the simple. I was brought low and he helped me. God preserves the simple. God looks out for them. God protects them. The law of the Lord is perfect, the Bible says, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The testimony of the Lord, the word of God, the Bible, will make the simple wise. Just like it said in Proverbs, that it was given to give instruction, justice, knowledge, discretion. That's what the Proverbs are there for. The law of God, the commandment of God, will make a simple person wise. It'll help them to be what? Less naive about life, about spiritual realities. Okay? The Bible says, the entrance of thy words giveth light, it giveth understanding to the simple. Again, it's the word of God that gives us that understanding. So being naive is natural. We all start out that way. There's nothing wrong with that. The problem is when we don't recognize that as naive people. When we're young, when we're inexperienced, when we're in our youth, when maybe we're new to the faith, maybe when we're new to anything in life and we don't have the experience that's needed, if we get puffed up and think, well, no, I already know it all, you know, that's when being naive becomes dangerous. That's my next point, that being naive is dangerous. An example of this is Dinah. Because really, when you look at it in Genesis chapter 34, her intentions are very innocent, aren't they? It says in verse 1, and Dinah, the daughter of Leah, which she bare unto Jacob, went out to see the daughters of the land. I mean, we would read that and say, well, yeah, naturally, she wanted to go make some friends. She wanted to go out in the world. It seems like a very innocent thing. Her intention wasn't, hey, I'm going to go commit fornication and upset my brothers and then have all these people killed. That's not what she intended, obviously. But that's part of being naive, isn't it? Not seeing the unforeseen consequences of your actions. That is an attribute of being naive, of being somebody who has no, cannot see ahead, has no foresight, cannot look ahead, cannot consider the consequences of what might happen, right? They're short-sighted. They might be innocent, but that's really just being naive. And really, naive people, they fall prey to people who want to take advantage of them. That's the danger of being naive. When you're a naive person, you're going to fall prey to those who will take advantage of you, okay? And in the story, we have a real good example of this, okay? We have some real, for a real specific intention, right? Shechem had intentions that were wicked from the start. Verse 1, she went out to see the daughters of the land. Verse 2, and when Shechem, the son of Hamor, the Hivite, prince of the country, saw her, he took her and lay with her and defiled her. And notice the progression there. He saw her, he took her, he lay with her and defiled her, okay? There's a couple things you can learn from that. One is that when you go out and commit fornication, you're defiling yourself. You know, that applies to anybody. You know, any kind of physical relationship outside of marriage, the Bible either calls adultery or fornication. Okay? And when you're committing fornication, you are defiling yourself. That's what the Bible says. And that's why the Bible tells us that this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in honor. The Bible commands that we abstain from fornication. That's not really the point of this sermon, but you know, I'm throwing it in there because of the world we're living in. I've got to hit that, ring that bell as often as I can these days. But notice again, that's what it ended up with Shechem. You know, Dinah goes out in her innocence. She goes out in just being naive, just kind of not very wise about the things of the world, just kind of goes out there, and then she's seen by this individual. And then he takes her, and he lay with her. Okay? Again, this was not her intention. But what this tells me is that, you know, and anyone who's lived, you know, and is honest will admit that people can be naive about the intentions of others. And women can be naive about the minds of men, okay? I'll say that again. Women can be naive about the minds of men. And you can't really blame them because they're not men. You know, and I'm just going to kind of pull back the veil a little bit and let the ladies in a little bit about how the minds of men work. Because you kind of see it here, right? What's the what? We didn't just go from Dinah went out to see the daughters of the land and got defiled. Okay, we saw Dinah went out into the land to see the daughters of the land, right? And then she was seen. Okay, Shechem saw her, and he liked what he saw. This is how the minds of men work. It's visual. They look, and they're attracted. Any man who's honest would have to say it's, you know, we'll say that that's exactly how a man's mind works. That men have to bring that under control. They have to bring their eyes and their thoughts under control. If men don't do that, they will let their eyes wander wherever they want and look at whatever they want and think about whatever they want and just drink it in. Okay, and I'm trying to not cross the line of being inappropriate here, but again, this is the problem, is that women, especially young women, who maybe don't have the experience of others, don't understand how the minds of men actually work. And they go out, and they can go out in the world, and then they can think, oh, this guy's so nice to me, he's paying me compliments, he's saying sweet things, he's after one thing. Oh, you know, I mean, we see later that Shechem, he talked very nicely to her, right? He spoke to her, he said nice things. He's after one thing. And it's not, you know, it's everything that's below the neck. Okay, this is how men work. And I'm just being honest. Any guy who's honest knows that this is true. So I don't know about that. Then why is it that when we go to Scripture, we see so many men, godly men, even men like Job, having to say things like, I made a covenant with my eyes, why then should I think upon a maid? If that's not how the mind of a man works, then why does Job have to say, I made a covenant with my eyes? I came to a place in my life where I said, look, this is the way we are, this is the way we're wired, this is how we're geared. I'm going to make a point in my life, I'm going to make it a purpose in my life to not just sit there and look at women and lust after them in my heart, which the Bible says is adultery already. That's what Christ said. If you look after a woman to lust, you have committed adultery with her already. And obviously he was making the greater point that, you know, even if you kept the whole law, we've already offended. We're already guilty. Okay? That was Christ's point. But my point is this, is that that's how the minds of men work. And look, naive young people, naive women can go out there and think that's not how the minds of men work. You know, this is something that I've noticed over the years too, is that women, you know, go out and dress a certain way. They just think they look cute. They just think that they're, you know, they're wearing the trendiest, most fashionable thing, and they have no idea why it's so popular, why men like what you're wearing so much. You know, what's I don't know, is it, I don't know, hopefully it's still not a thing, but I remember when these things first came around, these really tight leggings, the basically tights. I mean, I don't even remember what you call them anymore. The yoga pants. Thank you. I mean, just the name itself, right? You know, when those first came around, like you would only see them on like ski slopes. I remember, you know, I would go skiing in Michigan, and there was an older guy, and he's doing this. You know what we call that? Miracle fabric. That's how, I'm just being honest, folks. That's how the minds of men work. Ladies, don't be naive about it. Oh, why do you guys have such dress standards? So you're not out there just parading yourself and watching men, just having men just lust after you in their heart? Well, that's their fault. The Bible says that, you know, because of the fact that, women behave, and I'm paraphrasing grossly here, that the women who go out and are loose, that they increase the transgressions among men, the transgressors among men. I don't have it in my notes. I wish I'd put it in there. But because women behave a certain way, it actually increases the transgressors among men. So the Bible holds the women accountable for that, just as much as the men. I'm not saying the men are off the hook. My point this morning is that I'm just trying to get women to understand that men ought to have a certain way of thinking if they don't control it. And it's not like Job, I think, just one day said, well, I made a covenant with my eyes. You know, that's a covenant you got to make and keep every single day and not get backslidden. Well, that's just one guy. Well, David said, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. It's a wicked thing to sit there and just lust. But this is how the minds of men work. Don't be naive about it. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 5, we'll just read, or 15, I'll read to you, for out of the heart proceedeth evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witnesses, blasphemies. All these things come out of the heart of man. Fornications, adulteries, thefts, these wicked things, they're in there. And this is what's out there in the world. Now, here's the thing. If you're saved and you have the Holy Spirit, you know what the Bible says. You know, you're going to be more like a Job, hopefully, and temper these things. You're going to be on the guard against this in your life. But newsflash, the unsaved out there, the Shechems of this world, they don't have the Holy Spirit. They're going to see and they're going to take and they're going to lay and they're going to defile, because that's just what they do. That's what they're into. There's nothing stopping them. They're not trying to control their minds. Being naive is dangerous. This is the example of Dinah. Just going out there and thinking that, what's the worst that could happen? Well, read the rest of the story. It gets pretty bad, doesn't it? It does say in verse 3 that he loved the damsel, right? But here's the thing. It doesn't always work out that way. It doesn't always work out that way. You know, he could have just gotten with her and then just said, on to the next one. Just another notch in my belt. That's the world today. How does this happen? Well, it's flattery, really. Go to Proverbs chapter 7. I should have had to keep something there in verse 21. It says in verse 21, with her much fair speech, she caused him to yield. So it's talking about this adulterous woman, this loose woman of Proverbs chapter 7, who's going after the precious life, the naive young man, the simple young man among the youths who lacks wisdom and knowledge and discretion. She's coming to him, and with her much fierce speech, she is causing him to yield. You know, I'm not going to take the time to read the whole chapter, but she's telling him all these things, how she sought him, how she's looked for him, how she's, you know, gotten everything ready. The good man has taken a long journey and he won't be back. And it's this fair speech that causes him to give in. And it's somebody who's trying to deceive the simple. Somebody who's taking advantage of somebody being naive. And they do it through flattery. It says in verse 22, go to Proverbs 14. He goeth after her straightway as an ox goeth to the slaughter. That's such a picture of what's taking place when people are just being taken advantage of by others. When they're just taking everything from you that's precious. It's like an ox going to the slaughter, or as a fool to the correction of the stocks. Proverbs 14, look at verse 15. It says this, the simple believeth every word. The simple believeth every word. This is part of being naive. This is the danger of being naive, is that people will tell you things that aren't true and you just believe it. Either about yourself so that they can get something out of you that they want, or maybe they're just trying to sell you something. I mean, think about the snake oil salesman. They've got their tonic, their cure-all. You know, if they're selling it, it's because people are buying it. And this hasn't gone away. It's just taken on different forms today. You know, it's all these miracle this and wonder that, this product's going to change it. You know, you need all, I mean, just get on, you know, on the TV, you can start flipping through. I mean, they're going to be selling you things. Get on the radio, they're selling you things. You know, you get on YouTube, I'm going to tell you how to make six figures in 6 months. Step one is find a bunch of suckers on YouTube and make a video and pay for some advertising. That's step one. Of course, that's not what he's going to tell you. But, you know, like P.T. Barnum said, there's a sucker born every minute, right? There's another naive person coming down the pike that we're going to be able to take advantage of. If people get taken advantage of, they believe every word, they find out not every word's true, then they wise up and it's like, well, on to the next one, on to the next one. There's a sucker born every minute. They use their speech to flatter people. I'll read to you from Romans chapter 16. It says, "Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple." How do these men deceive the hearts of the simple? Through good words and fair speeches. And this is kind of what Shechem did. I believe Shechem did. He's probably saying a lot of nice things to Dinah. He's probably telling her how beautiful she is and how she's the only one and la-da-da-da-da-da, whatever. He's sweet-talking her, right? This is how this kind of thing works. You know, and people can be naive about other people's intentions while they're flattering them. And this is something you have to be on guard for in your life, people that are trying to flatter you, people that are trying to, you know, get something out of you by using what? Good words and fair speeches. And it works because it does say that it deceives the heart of the simple. Because people hear that, the simple hear that, and they go, oh, I really am that way. Oh, yeah. Finally, somebody else recognizes it besides me. You know, well, they're older, they're wiser, they're wealthier. It must be true. No, they're just trying to get something out of you, whatever it might be. The Bible says in Proverbs 19, that the soul be without knowledge, it is not good. And he that hasteth with his feet sinneth. That the soul be without knowledge, it is not good. It's not good to be a naive person. Obviously, again, we all start out that way, but this is the warning this morning. Don't, you know, understand that if you are a naive person, there's dangers there. Don't be naive about other people's intentions. Don't be naive about what people want to get out of you. The good news, and there is good news, is that being naive is not permanent. It's not a permanent thing. You know, hopefully we grow out of this. How are you going to grow out of being a naive person? You have to exercise prudence through experience. Exercise prudence through experience. And I'm going to give this to you, how to do that, how to exercise prudence in ascending order. Okay, so from like the least, most useful way to exercise prudence to the most, you know, successful way to exercise prudence. First, what is prudence? It's wisdom, it's judgment, it's common sense. It's the complete opposite of being naive. It's being a wise person. Not being naive means you are prudent. Meaning, it also means to be cautious or careful, to be wary. Here's a great Bible word, to be circumspect, right? The Bible tells us to not walk as fools, but to walk circumspectly, to have our eyes open, to be looking around, to be alert to what's going on around us. Not as fools. To have foresight, to have forethought, to have discretion. That's what it means to be prudent. It's the opposite of being naive. Go to Proverbs chapter number 22. Proverbs chapter number 22. How are you going to not be a naive person? You're going to exercise prudence through experience. You're going to become a more prudent person. And obviously, people today, they hear that word prudent, and they might think of that the phrase, oh, don't be such a prude, right? And usually the people that say that, oh, you're such a prude, are people that are trying to get you to do something you know you shouldn't do. Oh, just come with us. No, I don't want to go there because I know what goes on in those places. Oh, stop being such a prude. Quit being so uptight. Well, what are you saying, really? Be loose. Be carefree. You don't use caution. Is that what you're saying? Don't use wisdom, discretion, and foresight. Why would anyone want to do that? For one reason, to fit in and to be cool. They just want to go along with the crowd. Look, if you're going to be somebody who isn't naive and somebody who exercises prudence, you know, and you're going to have to maybe stick out like a sore thumb every now and then. You might have to have the reputation of being a little straight-laced. You know, but I'd rather be straight-laced than, you know, bound in sin. I'd rather be a little uptight than, you know, be a little stiff or starched or whatever people want to call you, than to have sin make a mess out of my life. Because look, those same people that are going to talk you into doing things, they're not going to be there when it all goes wrong. I mean, in the story we see that with Shechem, but it doesn't always work out that way, does it? I mean, Shechem at least is like, well, hey, at least I want to marry her. I know I went about things wrong, but I love her. I want to marry her. That's not like a proof text for, oh, okay, it's all right to just go out there and be naive. Look, the people that are trying to talk you into doing things, they're not going to be there when it all goes wrong. They're going to be a million miles away. Are you in Proverbs 22? Look at verse 3. The Bible says, a prudent man foreseeth the evil. Sounds to me like being a prudent person is a good thing. It's a good thing to see evil, to see harm, to see sin coming, isn't it? He seeth it, he foreseeth it. It means he sees it coming. He says, you know, I'm not going to be naive about this. I know if I listen to that person, if I go to that place, if I go down that road, if I partake in that activity, I know where it can lead. I know what could happen if I go there, and I'm going to avoid that. He foreseeth the evil and hideth himself. He sees the harm coming, and he's just like, well, let me get out of the way. A naive person is just going to go out there and be like, huh? And then just wham. You know, the prudent guy is going to look both ways before he crosses the road. The naive little child is the one that just runs out into traffic. Just runs out into the, you know, the street without looking. The prudent man, the person who's going to, you know, exercise prudence in their life, they're going to have some foresight. They're going to see the evil coming, and they're going to hide themselves. Notice there it says, but the simple pass on and are punished. People who are not prudent, people who remain naive, people who do not recognize the dangers of being naive are going to be punished. They're going to suffer as a result. So what are some of the ways you can exercise prudence in your life? How are you going to get this? How are you going to gain the experience that's going to lead you out of being a naive person? Well, one is going to be just the experience of life. And remember, these are in ascending order, meaning we're starting with like probably the least beneficial way to go about doing this. The experience of life is just going to happen, okay? You know, as long as you manage to keep yourself alive on this earth, you're going to become less naive. You're going to start to learn things about how the world works. But that doesn't necessarily mean that just every birthday that ticks by, all of a sudden, you know, everyone gets done saying happy birthday to you and it's just like, boom, you know, and all of a sudden I'm just hit with this wisdom. You know, like it's some kind of biological mechanism that every time I turn a certain, you know, gain another year in life, I gain wisdom. No, the experience of life is really the school of hard knocks. That's what I'm talking about. It doesn't have to be that way, but that's why it's really not the most trustworthy way or the best way to go about, you know, gaining experience is just through life in general. Because a lot of times, you know, experience through life, the wisdom that you gain is just learning what not to do. Just going, well, that didn't work out for me. I shouldn't do that again. I shouldn't do that again or a third or a fourth or a fifth time. You know, that's usually how that goes. The Bible does say that the hoary head is a crown of glory if it be found in the way of righteousness. You know, when we see somebody that's older, that's lived longer, if it be found in the way of righteousness, you know, that's a crown of glory. You know, they're going to have certain experience, certain knowledge, certain wisdom to impart because of life experience. They've just gone through different seasons of life that others haven't. The other way you could learn is through the experience of others. And this is a good way to learn, I think. This is a good way to exercise prudence in your life. Is through the experience not just of life itself, but through the life of other people. You know, people who are younger and naive should start to look around at the other people in their life and start to examine what kind of life those people have. And think about the decisions that other people have made in their lives and where it's led them. Because, you know, that's the same route you're going to go down. If you make those same decisions, that's where you're going to end up, for better or for worse. It's good to look at somebody and say, hey, this person is in a good place in their life. Well, I could see that they're successful in this area, that they're doing well here in this area of their life. I wonder what it is that they did to get there and learn from that. Or the opposite, look at somebody who has made some mistakes and is suffering for it and say, well, what did they do to get there? Let me not do that. That's another great way to gain experience, to gain prudence, to become more wise, to be less naive about the world. Go to Proverbs chapter 21. Proverbs chapter 21. This is what the Bible teaches when it comes to this, that we can look at other people, we can look at their lives, and I'm not saying to criticize them or to tear them down or make them feel bad, but just, you know, inwardly we can just perceive some things and just take note of some things in our own minds and our own hearts and say, well, let me not do what that person did, or let me do what they're doing, because I want to end up like that. The Bible says in Proverbs 19, I'll just read to you verse 25, smite a scorner and the simple will beware, and reprove one that hath understanding and he will understand knowledge. When you smite the scorner, the simple will beware. Meaning when they see the scorner, when they see the person who's just scoffing at the things that of God, and they're just scoffing at the things that they've been taught, scoffing at the wisdom and knowledge and instruction that's trying to be imparted on them, when they see that scoffer be smitten, when they see them get punished, when they see them start to have to deal with hard things in their life, the simple, the naive would look at that and be what? Beware. That's a good way to learn. That's a good way to gain experience. So look at what's happening to somebody else and go, well, I don't want that. Then don't do what they do. But you can't do the exact same thing other people are doing and expect a different outcome. Look there in verse 11 of Proverbs 21. When the scorner is punished, the simple is made wise. So again, the simple will beware. The simple will what? Be made wise. You know, it's a wise thing to beware. The prudent man foreseeth evil. It's a very wise thing to be on your guard. It's a very wise thing to have foresight, to not be naive. But again, it's the same principle that when the scorner is punished, when the person who's scoffing at these things is punished, the simple, the naive would do well to look at that and say, well, let me not be like them, and let me be wise. And when the wise is instructed, he receiveth knowledge. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter number 10. We'll come back to Proverbs one more time. Those are great ways to learn. You know, obviously, again, in ascending order. The experience of life, you know, I wouldn't just count on that. Well, let me just go out there and just try this and see what happens. Let me just not have any counsel. Let me not go to the Bible about anything. Let me not listen to anything anybody's ever taught me or instructed. And let me just go out there and just kind of figure this out on my own. What you're going to find out is what doesn't work. You're going to make a lot of mistakes that you didn't have to make. It'd be better to just look at the experience that others had. It'd be better just to listen to people who already have gone through things and saying, don't do it that way. Here, do it this way. That would be a much better way to learn. That'd be a much better way to be less of a naive person. But, you know, another great way to learn in ascending order, the best part would really just be the experience from Scripture, just from the instruction from the Word of God. That's what you'll find. I mean, anybody that's, if you're going to rely on the experience of others, it's all for good or bad. Anyone that's succeeding, it's because they're implementing biblical principles in their life. Look at 1 Corinthians 10, verse 6. Now, these things were our examples to the intent we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. These things were our examples, meaning the things that were written of Old Testament Israel, the things that are written in the Word of God. I mean, why do you think God wrote us a book? Why did God put that story about Dinah in there? Why does God give us all these stories in the Old Testament? So that we could learn from it. So that we could receive instruction. For an example to us. He says in verse 7, neither be ye idolaters as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication as some of them committed and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye as also some of them murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things happened unto them for ensamples. All these things have happened and been recorded in Scripture just so God could humiliate people. He put the story of Dinah in there because he just wants to humiliate Dinah. He just wants to expose Simeon and Levi for being so cruel. Is that why it's in there? Because God just didn't have anything better to talk about at that chapter. He's like, well, let me just make that up. Let me just throw that in there. Why not? No, these things are written for our ensamples. They're for our ensamples, and they are written for our admonition upon whom the ends of the world are come. These things are there in Scripture to teach us. You know, and if we're wise, we'll take heed to the things that are written in the Word of God. We will conduct ourselves and live our lives in accordance with the Bible. You know, a naive person would do well to just trust what the Word of God says and just believe it and just follow it and obey it, even if it doesn't make sense. Note, I like how it ends there, verse 12. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. We often quote verse 12, don't we? And we often quote verse 11, but notice how they're tied together. All these things happen, and then for examples, like God's warned us. God said, this is the way it goes. Do this. This is what happens. This is how the world works. Don't be naive. I'm warning you right now. But people can get this attitude of, well, I don't believe that. People get this attitude of, well, I know better than God. They would never say that, but that's what their attitude is. The Bible says, well, this is how you should have a marriage. This is how you should raise your children. This is how you should conduct yourself as a young man. This is how you should conduct yourself as a young lady. This is, you know, all these things that are written for our examples. And the Bible is just explaining, and people just go, well, I think I know better. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. It's interesting, those are tied together. So again, what are we talking about this morning? About not being naive. Again, being naive is very natural. It's unavoidable. You can't help but be naive in life. If you're young and inexperienced, you're naive. You just can't do anything about it. The problem with being naive is not being naive in and of itself, but the fact that it's dangerous to be naive. I mean, it would be dangerous to leave the kids at home, wouldn't it? It would be dangerous to leave all of, you know, all the single-digit children at home by themselves. And just be like, well, you know, they got this. You know, me and mom need to get away for a little while, so we're just going to leave all the little kids there, and just, I'm sure everything will be fine because they've been around. Obviously, they've been paying attention to everything we do. Yeah, they know how to turn the oven on, and the grill. You know, they know how to go out. They know where the gun's kept. They know where the matches are. They know where the toys are hidden. They know all of it. It'd be a very dangerous thing, wouldn't it? Why? Because children are just such evil little creatures? Because they're just these little hellions that are just, you know, bent on destruction and mayhem? No, it's because they're naive. That's it. It's dangerous to just leave kids unattended. It's dangerous. You don't know what they're going to do. That's what's so bad about it. It's not that, you know, that the fact that they're children makes them evil or something. It's the fact that they're naive, and it's dangerous to be naive. And people are naive about the way the world works sometimes. And look, we don't want to learn about how the world works through just life experience. By just, you know, one hard knock after another. It'd be better to just look at the experience of other people, look at the experience of Scripture, and learn from that. And just trust it. And just acknowledge the fact, I'm naive, I'm inexperienced, I don't have the wisdom and discernment and foresight others do. Let me just trust, you know, the experience of others. Let me just trust the Scripture. You know, because being naive is not permanent. You know, it's something you can grow out of. Go to Proverbs chapter 27. Proverbs 27, we'll close there. It says in Proverbs chapter 8, O ye simple, understand wisdom, and ye fools, be of an understanding heart. Hear, for I will speak of excellent things, and the opening of my lips shall be right things. It's like God is opening his lips in the Scripture. Wisdom in Proverbs is just saying, listen to what I have to say. I'm going to impart unto you wisdom, knowledge, and instruction. It's going to be an ornament of grace upon thine head. It's going to be chains about thy neck. It's going to adorn your life. It's going to help you live a good and righteous life. You will not regret it. And this is the thing. People who are naive, they think that, especially the youth, they can sometimes think that they're missing out on something, that the Bible's just holding them back from some, like they're being, teased or something. Like there's something that God just doesn't want them to have because he's just mean. That's not the case. God's guarding us from these things. God wants us to understand these things so we're not foolish. And in time, you'll understand that. Even if you don't understand that right now as a young person, in time you will. As you gain experience, you'll go, oh, that's why my parents said that. Oh, that's why the preacher preached that. That's why the Bible says this. That makes perfect sense. Wow, I really dodged a bullet there. Woo! Right? Look at Proverbs 27, verse 12. A prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple are passed on under punishment. You say you're repeating yourself. Nope. That was Proverbs 23 earlier. It's being repeated here in Proverbs 27. And look, obviously we should pay attention to every single thing that the Bible says, but when the Bible's repeating itself explicitly, we should probably pay a little bit more attention. And we need to be people who are prudent. Don't be naive. We need to be people who foresee evil and understand that maybe you don't understand all the evil that's out there. Maybe you lack the ability, the discernment to see what's out there, what evil really lurks in this world, what men are really like, what women are really like out in the world, what they're really after. Maybe you lack that. You know what? But you should at least be able to look through Scripture and foresee it that way. Say, well, let me look through the lens of the Bible and say, okay, this is the way the world really is. And let me hide myself and not be somebody that's just simple, passes on, and is punished in life. Don't be a naive person. Look, I know this wasn't the most eloquent of messages, okay? But this is a truth that needs to be preached, that we cannot be naive people about the world and how it works. We cannot be naive about those that are around us, the intentions of other people. We can't be naive about the consequences of ignoring Scripture, ignoring what it teaches. You know, ignoring the Bible, ignoring, you know, the realities that I've tried to express this morning, it's going to doom you. It spells doom in your life. You're going to suffer. Because now we just read, the simple pass on and are punished. But some of them squeak by unscathed. Some of them manage to, you know, skate around, you know, the pitfalls of life. Nope. It says those that do not hide themselves, that lack the foresight, that do not hide themselves from evil, they are punished. The simple pass on and are punished. Ignoring this is just going to doom you to failure. It's going to doom you to a life of a failure and all its consequences. And you don't want to wise up when it's too late. You don't want to wise up after the fact and go, oh yeah, I shouldn't have done that. It'd be better to just trust God's word, trust what you're being taught from godly instruction, and just say, that's the way it is. I know I'm a little naive about these things, but I'm just going to trust what the Bible says. I'm going to foresee the evil through the eyes of others, through the eyes of Scripture, and not be punished. Let's go ahead and pray.